Okay, good morning, everybody. We are learning Moed Katan Daf Ches. The shiur is sponsored by the Bouncers, OMO Construction. Thanks for that sponsorship. And the breakfast, sponsored by Bagel Munch, Lili Nishmas, Shimon Ben Zev, and Fega Bas Chaim. All right, well, the Braisa and Daf Zayin Amud Beis presented a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi, also Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, as to what is the drasha that tells me that you're not required to show a kohen a neged saras immediately upon finding it. Sometimes there is a good cause to postpone. You're not necessarily required always to show the kohen immediately, and the kohen is not supposed to take a look at it under certain conditions, and that was what was explored in the last daf. Machlokes presented over here is which pasuk is the pasuk that's used. Rabbi Yehuda says it's the pasuk biyom heira ospo basar chayitma. The context of the pasuk is that if an adam has the negat saras, that would be a mara tame, but the negat saras covers his whole body. Then the Chumash says, okay, so then he becomes tahor. Until biyom heiros ba'basar chai, until some of the skin clears, and then it's not a complete neged saras covering his whole body. And it says, biyom heiros ba'basar chai, biyom heiros bo, implies yesh yom she'ataroa, v'yesh yom she'ataroa. That there are some days that the Kohen is not supposed to check. And they're taking this really out of context, because the context over here is where he was already a mitzorah, that and then the question is, but at that point he's tahor. So now we're being told that according to Rabbi Yehuda, that pasuk implies that there are certain days where the kohen is not supposed to check at all, and then the previous daf worked through under what conditions do we say that the kohen should hold off, and that the guy who with the tzaras should hold off, or potential tzaras should hold off. Otherwise, he'd be required to have the kohen check immediately. And Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't use that pasuk to tell me this concept. There's a different pasuk that implies the same rule, namely that it says v'tziva hakohen upina wasabayis, that if a person discovers a nega of a reddish or greenish nega on the house, then he's supposed to normally tell the kohen, I have something suspicious in the house. And then the instructions are, the Kohen says, okay, I'm going to come, but I'm not going to come until after you clear out the whole house. Because as it says in the Chumash, Relo Yitma Kol Asher Babayis, because in case it's Tame, then it'll make Tuma on everything in the house. Because Tzaras, Abayis, transmits Be'oha. Okay, so that was on my folks. Now, the Gemara here is asking about these Tanayim, why don't they each accept each other's pasuk? Rabbi Yehuda, bottom line of Zayin Amud Beis, Rabbi Yehuda, who uses the pasuk of B'yom Heiraos Bo Basar Chai, why doesn't he learn the drasha from the pasuk that Rabbi has? Betziva Kohen Efino Sabayis. It says, no, because Mehasim Lo Gamrina, Dechidashu. Rabbi Yehuda says, I can't learn a general principle that you can hold off on Riyas Neged Saras because of what the Chumash says about the Saras HaBayis, because that's a Chiddush. Using the Chiddush in its usage, that Sabi showed him right, a Chiddush does not just mean something you wouldn't know on your own. A Chiddush means Davar HaSoser Es HaKlal, something that breaks the regular rules. So that's what it explains. It clarifies that here in the Gemara. And Chesem Bet Aleph on the top word, it says, Deha, because after all, Eitzim V'Yavanim V'Yal Malom Etamu. Because Eitzim V'Yavanim are not Mekabel Tuma. Normally, there's only four categories of things that are Mekabel Tuma. Adam, Kalim, Ochlim, Mashkim. Those are the only four things that are Mekabel Tuma. And things that are junk or worthless or like Eitzim V'Yavanim V'Yafar, these kinds of things, not Mekabel Tuma at all. But if your house can become Tamei with Tumas Tzaras. So Tumas Tzaras Habayis breaks the regular rules of Tuma V'Tahara. And it says, the Ha'itzim V'Yavanim V'Yamalomi Tamu. Normally that's the rule. But Sarav Banega Nigay Batim is an exception. It breaks the regular rule. It's a chiddush, and because it's a chiddush, then Rabbi Yehuda says, I can't learn a drasha from the pasuk that pertains to Tzaras Abayis. And tell me in general that for any kind of Nega Tzaras, that you'd be allowed to use that same leniency of holding off until it's a better time. That's what it. That's what it says. It's a chiddush. The mechiddush lo gamrinan. For Rebbe, Rebbe says, well, that's a good point. Perhaps it doesn't explain why isn't he bothered by the chiddush. Maybe he doesn't consider it a chiddush. But he says here, well, anyway, I can't use your pasuk. Your pasuk is b'yom heiraos bo basar chai, because my pasuk is better. But really, the reality is, it says here, the Rebbe Amar Itzterich. Really, I need both psukim to tell me this principle. Both psukim tell me the principle that you're sometimes permitted to hold off on a on showing the nega, the potential nega to the kohen. And why do I need both psukim? Deikas rachmana biyom herosbo. If you only had the pasuk biyom herosbo basar chai. If you remember the wording of the Braisa, it was b'yom heiraos b'basar chayitma, b'yom yesh yom she'ata roa, b'yesh yom she'enata roa, and what does it depend upon? If it's like a chasan and a yom tov and these kinds of things, only l'dvar mitzvah. In other words, for purposes of the mitzvah, the celebration, and then I can hold off. But what if there's some other kind of a tzorech, which is a dvar harishus, although it doesn't clarify what tzorech would count as a dvar harishus, but strong enough of a tzorech to justify holding off, doesn't explain that, but at least Rebbe says that, well, look, from the pasuk of Yom HaRosh Bo, that only tells me if it's a dvar mitzvah. But if the Chumash is trying to convey the idea that other tzorechim also are legitimate to hold off, so then I need a different pasuk. That's why I have my pasuk, which says, tell the people, the Kohen says, tell the people that I'm about to come, so clear everything out of the house. That's just to save money. So that's enough of a tzorech. Betziva Kohen. Because of Rachmana Betziva Kohen, so why isn't it enough to just tell people that pasuk? Use the pasuk, Tziva Kohen. Avamina, hani in delav tuma de gufei, yaval tuma de gufei, and mamechzi chazilei. That's why it's tzricha. Because if all you had was the pasuk about the bayis, then I might think that that's a different type of tzaras. That's tzaras habayis. But a tzaras haguf on the person, maybe there's a greater urgency to go and show the kohen. You wouldn't have the same permission to hold off. And so, but Rebbe is saying, no, but the intent of the Torah is to give you that permission to hold off. So that's why it needs both psukim to establish this halacha, that you can, that under certain occasions, the tzorach, you're allowed to wait. Okay, Amar Mar. Amar Mar means that earlier Atana said.
An
Amora. A what?
An Amora.
Atana. Amar Mar is always Atana. Amar Mar, and this is Atana. Yeshi, the Tana was, in this case, it was Rebbe Yehuda. So this, for the next 15 lines or so, the discussion is going to be inside of Rebbe Yehuda's Shita, Rebbe Yehuda's Drasha. Amar Mar Yesh Yom She'ata Roa Bo V'Yesh Yom She'ata Roa Bo. My Mashma. Now the Stam Gemara is asking, my Mashma, where do you see from the words V'Yom HaRosh Bo Basar Chai, that where do you see that you can make a drasha that you don't always have to take a look? So the premise of this question is that drashos always come from something that the Tana sees is anomalous in the pasuk. Either it's something extra or something awkward, something redundant, something that doesn't belong here. So the question here is, my mashma is, what about the pasuk suggests that there's a drasha to be made here, b'yom, yesh yomim sh'ata roa, v'yesh yom sh'iyata roa. Amar Abaye, so Abaye, the Amora says, here's what it seems to him. It seems to him that what the Tana Rabbi Yehuda was looking at in the pasuk is imkein lichtav rachmana biyom my uviyom shema mina yesh yom she'ata roa bo v'yesh yom she'iyata roa bo. Because of the extra vav, we would have said this a lot more economically. We would have just said because there's an extra vav. But it says here because it could have said biyom and it says uviyom, so that tells me the drasha. Rava Amar. Rava says, Kula Kra Yaseira Hihu. Rava says, what do you mean? The whole Kra. Rashi says, the Kra means the whole word. The whole word is extra. The Imkein, left the Rachmana, because if all the Chumash wanted to say was that when the Kohen sees the clearing up of the skin, left the Rachmana, Ubeiros, my Ubiyom. So Shmamina. That's what Rava understands was Rabbi Yehuda was seeing in the pasuk. Now it's a whole extra word biyom. So Abaye challenges him. Abaye pushes back. He says, "You can't delete the word biyom and then only you and then expect the halachas to be the same. And that's why you look at the word biyom as being extra. And that's why you can make this drasha biyom shatero." Hahumi boile biyom velo belaila. Abaye says, but I need the word biyom to tell me the halacha, like we see dozens of places where the Chumash uses the word biyom, it's always taken, almost always taken as yom velo laila. Not just day, but daytime. So it says here, Abaye is saying to him, but you yourself acknowledge that you need the pasuk biyom to tell me the halacha biyom velo belaila, that you don't see negoyim belaila. When you show the Kohen a Negat Saras, it has to be Biyom. The Rava, so how does he respond to that attack? Biyom velo belaila minale. How does he get that halacha, if he does accept it, which he does? Now, if Kolei Gemara answers, Mei lachol mare enei ha-Kohen. He gets it from a different pasuk. The pasuk, the previous pasuk in the Chumash that says that if once the Saras covers his whole body, lachol mare enei ha-Kohen. That means, considering the whole view, the whole sight of the Kohen. So the implication is very clear. He has to be able to see. He has to be able to see that's during the daytime. The Abaye doesn't accept this. He challenges him. He says, that's impossible. Abaye says, no, that pasuk, Lakol Mari Enei HaKohen, tells me that a Kohen is disqualified from being an inspector of Negoyim if he doesn't have bilateral vision, if he can't see with both eyes. Because the pasuk says, Kol Mari Enei HaKohen. He has to be able to see fully with both eyes. And that halacha comes only from this pasuk, and presumably Rav accepts it, and Abaye says to him, that's what you need that pasuk, but you can't also use that pasuk to tell me daytime, not nighttime. And strangely enough, Rava actually agrees. Rava backs down. It says, "V'Rava nami miboile lahachi." Rava, doesn't he also require it for this purpose? And the Gemara answers, not an answer. The Gemara actually says he surrenders. In hachinami. In hachinami is an expression. It means yes, in. Hachi, kacha, nami means be'emet. Kain, kacha be'emet. People normally don't think nami means be'emet. They think it means also. Half the time, nami means also. Half the time means really. And just that in this case, it means really. So in other words, Rava is saying, oh yeah, that's true. It really, that is what it really does mean. So it's a little funny. It's a stylistic question on the Gemara. The Gemara presented a dead-end suggestion, and then it knew that it was wrong, and it backed out. And it said, okay, that suggestion doesn't work. So we're back to the challenge against Rava. Biyom has to tell me biyom velo belaila. So why does Rava think the whole word would be extra and usable for this drasha? Where it says, how did Rava know the halacha biyom, that you can only see negoyim biyom? Nafgalei may kenega nira liba bayis. He gets it from the pasuk that says that when you tell the Kohen, I think I have a nega tzaras in my house, I'm seeing a reddish spot, a greenish spot. The words are, kenega nira liba bayis. It seems to me, it appears to me. The Gemara says here that Rava would say that the drasha is li velo liori. It appears to me, but I don't li velo liori. It's not that the artificial illumination enables me to see it. It has to be natural lighting. Natural lighting. So that's the principle. So the drasha is saying, Rava now says, so that's the rule. It says, I know that it has to be daytime from the pasuk, nirali velo liori. That's a daytime requirement. And therefore, the word biyom is not necessary for that halacha, and biyom is extra, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda d'Tana is thinking like me, and therefore he thinks that that tells him the drasha of yesh yom and yesh yom, that some days yes, some days you don't have to. Incidentally, just Tosfos point out, this is like logically impossible, because the pasuk, the context of the pasuk nega nirali bebayis is tarasa batim. Well, on the top of the page, the top line, it says that Reb Yehuda says, I can't learn halachas from there because tzaras habayis is a chiddush. That's what Tosfos spends time trying to work through. So there's a little bit of an inconsistency. Tosfos tries to explain why it's okay. I just want to point out a very fascinating thing, which is the poskim, we don't have tzaras anymore, but there are certain situations where we do require inspection of a discoloration. And the halacha does require, theoretically anyway, is that that has to be a riyas ksamim, has to be biyom. Riyas akesim is biyom. What?
There are leper camps nowadays. That's not this thing.
Well, maybe, yeah, maybe not. But we're not following any of these halachos with respect to lepers. If you can find a leper these days, that's not really a contemporary diagnosis. Okay, in any case, so that's what the poskim, generally speaking, you do ksamim bayom, like it says over here, that you're supposed to see colors bayom.
But there are many rabbanim who will look at ksamim with an artificial light.
Right, contemporary poskim, they have some workarounds that, but in principle, they have to work to explain why it would be justifiable to have to see a ksamim belayla. But okay, in any case. Back to this Gemara. The Gemara says, Abaye, the Abaye. Now we're pushing back to Abaye. Abaye, doesn't he see things the way Rava has it, that the word Biyom is sufficient to tell me the rule? Like, why does he think Biyom is necessary? Doesn't he have all these other drushes, Kenega, Nirali, Veloli, Ari, and that's enough? Why do I need Biyom? Abaye says, no. Same kind of a thing. He says, well, that's tzaras habayis. Tzaras habayis, maybe that has to be biyom. Maybe the tumah and the guf, maybe that could be afilu la'oro nami sukamash melan, between the two psukim. That's why it's more, that's why you need the pasuk biyom for lo belayla. That's why the extra vav is what you use to tell me the halacha that yesh yom v'yesh yom. And the whole premise of all of this is that when it comes to drasha making, you can only get one halacha per drasha. If you have an anomaly, you can only get one halacha out of it. You can't just get multiple halachos out of it. Except when you do, in which case the Rishonim struggle with that. Okay, new Mishnah. Mishnah says, V'yod Amar Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir also says, Rebbe Meir is in the previous Mishnah also, saying the din of Riyas HaNegoyim. And now he says another thing, which is Malakeit Adam Atzmo Saviv Imo. On Chol HaMoed, you're permitted to collect the bones, to exhume the bones of Aviv Imo, which is normally a pretty kind of gruesome activity, and you wouldn't necessarily figure that that's appropriate for Chol HaMoed. Rabbi Meir says, what do you mean? Bipnei Shesimcha Hilo. Because the person feels glad to be doing such a task. Why? Well, why would you have permission? Generally, you're not allowed to exhume. So why would you have permission to exhume the bones? So Shulchan Aruch says there are several things. Mishnah, Rashi, our Rashi and our Gemara says, Kavaratus, that if the body is buried somewhere, and it's because there wasn't an opportunity to do a proper burial where the family owns plots, and it's where other family members are, so then that's justifiable. That's one of the reasons, says the Shulchan Aruch, you have justification to exhume the bones and to bury them, the kever avosav. It doesn't have to be that way. Shulchan Aruch says there are several other justifications. If it's mutal bebizayon, that's enough of a justification also. If you want to move to Eretz Yisrael, it says that that's enough justification also. Some Rishonim say that this was a routine, that they would have temporary burials for a little while until there was decomposition, and then he would collect the bones and move them into the proper place. So they may also be what it means over here, Kever Avos. Maybe that's why they didn't originally do it.
One time, we went on tour, and the looked like little kevers, big kevers, and then what they would do is, yeah, they would like bury them
temporarily,
and then move them into, you know, smaller quarters.
Oh yeah, that's interesting. Okay.
Well, they had a lot of land back then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you run out of space. Okay, so it says over here, Rabbi Meir views all of this as appropriate for Chol HaMoed. Rabbi Yossi Tana argues, and he says, that's impossible. Avel hulo. It's, what do you mean? Is that a simcha? That's an activity of Avelus. It's Avel hulo. And therefore, it's not appropriate to do that on Chol HaMoed. You're not allowed.
It's actual Avel, because when you dig up the bones, it's a shiva.
That's an important thing. We're going to see that here on this daf. It actually is not just Avel as a kind of an affective description of what you feel, but it's actually the halacha is that it requires Avelus. Yeah. And that's not, that you don't do Avelus, you're not supposed to have Avelus on a Chol HaMoed. So let's take a look. And then as a third, another halacha here in this Mishnah, which we'll also talk about a little bit here on the daf further on. Two lesser known halachos, but they're halacha l'maisa. Lo ya'orer adam al meso. That's one halacha. That one's not so halacha l'maisa. Lo ya'orer adam al meso, which means you're not allowed to stir everybody up and rouse everybody up in passion over somebody who's died. Rashi points out somebody who's died not recently, somebody who's died a good month or two ago. The lo yaspidenu kodem leregel shloshim yom, and you're not allowed to do hespedim for that person up to a month before a regel. This is a halacha that's not so well known. I can just tell you that this is a big deal, this halacha. I remember when Rav Soloveitchik, when the Rav died, he died over Chol HaMoed Pesach. So nobody's around in the yeshiva, Chol HaMoed. So they couldn't really do a proper funeral. They did, but not, you know, people who's around. It's like Bein Hazman. So then after, they wanted to have a big memorial on the Shloshim. But they couldn't, because the Shloshim of Chol HaMoed Pesach was a month before Shavuos. So you couldn't have it. So you can't do, when you're doing you can't have a memorial service. You can't have a haskara for a person who has died over a month before the regel, because the hesped itself will be emotional and it's going to get people into a mood that they shouldn't really be in when come the regal.
Then also for putting up a matseva.
Would it apply to matseva? It depends. If you're gonna put up a matseva and also have hespedim at the time, so then you wouldn't be allowed to do that. Shulchan Aruch says that if it's just a memorial at the end of the Yud Beis Chodesh, if you're going to have kind of closure of the Avelus, and then the Mechaber writes that he sees that as being actually consistent with you're pulling out of the depressive state of Avelus, and then that he thinks that should be okay. But if it's something else, I remember that we had also a really difficult situation in the yeshiva, I don't know, 15 years ago. When there was one of the kids died, one of the kids passed away. It was a big tragedy, and also it was like at the same time, that same kind of a thing. And the yeshiva scheduled a big memorial with the family until some of the rabbanim said, you can't have it now. It's within a month of the regal. People just never heard of that halacha. So this is not such a well known halacha. They had to cancel that. Had to reschedule. Okay. In any case. Let's take a look. We'll get into this later. It says in the Gemara, V'raminu. Wait, so the issue of whether it's a simcha. Rabbi Meir claimed that it was a simcha, so that's why you're allowed to do an Chol HaMoed. V'raminu. But they challenged him. They ask, it's against a different source. It says on the side, it's Maseches Machos. Maseches Machos is a little bit of a late Maseches, but it has a lot of the rules of Avelus and Kvuras and things. So it says here, Amalakate Atzmos Aviv Imo Hareza Misabel Aleihem. That's what you were saying, that the person who exhumes the bones for good purposes, that day, harezem misablalim, you have a full day of Shiva liyom echad. You have to observe the dinei Shiva for that day. Well, the erev ain misablalim, but it's only for that day. That night, you don't continue the avelus. It's a one day avelus liyom echad, and then it has a line, v'yamar Rav Chisda afilu tzerurin lo besadino. And Rav Chisda says, even if the bones are in a sack and you're holding the sack. So that line is a little bit of a non sequitur. What does that apply to? Wait, what does that mean? Even if they're tzerurin lo besadino. Rashi has one pshat, Tosfos has two pshatim, and we don't accept Rashi. Rashi says, no, it's only one day if you're able to pull off the reinterment of the body, of the bones. But if you still have the bones with you, so then the avelus will continue cause man that you didn't rebury the bones. And Tosfos has the other interpretation, which is, no, it means the opposite, that at that evening you don't continue avelus even if you still have the bones with you. That's what we say in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says it's one day avelus even if you didn't get a chance to rebury the bones. So either way, the point is very clear that it's an avelus when you dig up the bones. So how could Rabbi Meir consider it a simcha? Amar Abaye, Eimam Epnesha Simcha Seregel Alav. Abaye says, not the act of the exhumation, of the relocating the bones is simcha. It's a different thing. It's precisely because on Chol HaMoed, you're osek in simcha. So the effect of the liquid atzamos is not really a full effect, and therefore it's not enough to trouble me. It's not enough to bother me. The Rishonim here have a whole different understanding about what's going on here. Rashi just says it's all about the emotions. Rashi says that it's not appropriate to do liquid atzamos of Chol HaMoed. Why does Rabbi Meir consider it appropriate? And the answer is because it's not going to affect me so much, because the overwhelming simcha of the moed is going to make the emotional downer of the liquid atzamos to be have less of an impact. And so it's not going to be too bad. It's not going to shter the moed that much. And other Rishonim have a whole different thing. They say, no, it's a technical halachic issue. It's that there is no avelus on Chol HaMoed. Even if a person, I had a family member passed away on Chol HaMoed, the avelus can't start. There is no, the simchas haregel, a love, and it precludes the avelus. So that's why he's not bad. Okay,
so this is Chol HaMoed. There's no avelus at all?
Well, if they do kura on Chol HaMoed, right, then you have to postpone Shiva. Shiva doesn't start. But so what nihugim do apply even before the clock starts?
Shiva starts after.
Shiva starts after.
Oh. Yeah, there's all question about whether there's any bits of Avelis that's still applied during Chol HaMoed. That's a question.
Avelis Putzina, I believe, applies.
Maybe. On Shabbos, Avelis Putzina applies. On Yantiv is all machlokas. Whether Avelis Putzina would apply on Regel. Yeah, it's not so clear.
So would you push off that one day of...
They don't do it. They don't push it off. So, well, we don't permit it. We hold the chumrah that you're not allowed to do likud atzamos on Chol HaMoed. If you did, if it's an emergency, and if you did, so then you just wouldn't have the avelus. Okay, two dots. Lo ya'arera al meso. My lo ya'arera meso. What does that mean? You're not allowed to get everybody all worked up about it. Amarav kad hadar safdana b'ma'arava amri yavkuni mekal merire liba. So this was apparently something that they didn't do in Bavel. They did, this was something in Eretz Yisrael. That's why the Mishnah refers to it. And it says here, what does that mean? So Rav, who lived in Eretz Yisrael, he grew up in Eretz Yisrael, came to Bavel. So Rav reports, Kadhadar Safdana b'ma'arav. In Eretz Yisrael, they would have the maspid, they would have either a maspid or maspidim generally, would go around, and Omri, they actually would call, they would announce, they would get everybody worked up, Yavkun! Let everybody cry, imei or ale, different yourselves here. Call Marir Liba. Everybody who's feeling mar, or everybody who's prepared to feel the sadness of the Avel should come. come and let's cry. Okay, well, that kind of talk is not really appropriate. That's even Shloshim Yom, Kodum L'Regel. Shloshim Yom. We don't really have this, so this is not relevant to us. But the next line is what's relevant. It says, the lo yaspi denim. So it says here, Kodum L'Regel Shloshim Yom, for up to a month before the Regel. To that's my shana Shloshim Yom. Well, why is this rule even as far as 30 days? Amar Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Because so we have machlokas. Rav is going to present this reason, and Shmuel presents a different reason. Rav says the reason is because Maisa, because once upon a time something happened and it was a problem, and because they anticipated similar types of problems happening, they banned this. So what was the event? Maisa ba'adam echad shakineis mos laos l'regel. Once upon a time, there was a certain guy, and he was collected money. He had now money to be ola regel, because this is close to the regel we're talking about. And this is Bezman HaMikdash, obviously. Uba Saftan, the Amar al Pesach Beso, and one of these roaming Saftanim came and was collecting money in order to have a proper hespit. The Natlasan Ishto, and she, his wife, was persuaded to buy in, and she took all that money, Venas Nasan Lo. Yanimna Velo Allah. So that's it. He had no money, he couldn't do Aliyah L'Regel. Okay, that's what it says. That was the story that happened, and therefore, Biosa Sha Amru. So, you know, you always have to wonder. The Chazal, they size up a situation, and then they respond to it. Their response is not what we would have necessarily responded. We would not have looked at that and said, okay, so the solution is you're not allowed to have traveling hespedim and maspedim going around so close to a regal. We would have viewed this as a whole other problem, and then we would have said things a little bit differently. But anyway, this is how they viewed it. They viewed it as you can't have traveling maspedim go around before the regal shloshim yom. All right. Anyway, that's what Rav understood is what was the historical background of this halacha. And Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, what are you talking about? Levisha ein hameis mishtakech min alev shloshim yom. It wasn't triggered by a certain event. It's just because common experience is that a mace remains kind of vivid in your mind for a month. For up to a month even. And therefore what? So Rashi says, well, so therefore, if you have maspidim that are going around and that they're getting everybody to get all emotionally worked up and you're going to have a spadim about the mace, so then it'll linger in your mind even for up to a month. So that's why once you're within that month pre-regel, we don't want to fill your mind with these kinds of emotions. So that's why we stop it. Now, the post can point out, and this is a critical thing, this is not so common for us, even though people do pass away before the regel, up to a month, and we're not reluctant to have a spedim. They do funerals. They're not going to do a funeral on the regel, maybe not erev a regel, but you do a spedim, you know, days before the regel. So how do you reconcile that with this? So they all point out that it's all based on the fact that the whole context here is against Rashi. Rashi writes that this even applies to somebody who passes away even right before the regel. But the other Rishonim, a quote from Talmud Yerushalmi, and also based on just the logic of what Shmuel is saying, is that it doesn't make sense to forbid hespedim when the mace is actually just died right before the regel. This is only relevant to a case where the mace already died more than a month before the regel, and on its own, you would have recovered by the time of the regel. Now you're going to reconvene, you're going to have re-hespedim, you're going to do another memorial. That was uncalled for, because that, you had some discretion as to what you wanted to do, so don't hold one now. Hold it later. But if the person actually died right before, then you do a spedim because it doesn't make it any worse, because it's not going to make it worse. That's the thinking that the Rishonim have, and the Shulchan Aruch writes that also, that this halacha of ein maspedim kodem lego shloshim yom is only for somebody who's passed away at least a month prior to the regel.
Like
but if it's But what?
Not new hesped.
Yeah, but what's called meis chadash, a newly died person. So then you can do all the hespedim then. You don't have to minimize. That's what it says. Now, that's why this doesn't get a lot of use, because it's only if you're going to hold a shloshim service or some memorial service or something, but not the actual funeral. The funeral you could have even right before even within the shloshim yom. That's a meis chadash. So even though it doesn't say so in our Gemara, but it does a little bit sound like it from that it should be true according to Shmuel. Problem is that according to Rav, it wouldn't make any difference. But according to Rav, it may only be when it's for money. So that's what the Gemara here asks. My Beinayu, does it matter if you hold like Rav or Shmuel? Ika Beinayu dekoavet bechinam. Yeah, the difference is what happens if we're only having a spadim for free. You don't pay the masbit. That's our, in our world, you might hire the funeral for all kinds of things, but you don't hire professional masbitim. So from our perspective, according to Rav, this would be mutter. According to Shmuel, this is what this would be aser. We appear to be following Shmuel on this because we're holding even masbitim bechina, and we also would be holding even that it only applies only if the mace was at least a month before. According to Rav, neither of those would be true. Problem is, the Tosis thinks that you should pass on like Rav because of a policy of Hilchas HaKarav the Isure. All right, but we paskin like what I just said. Shloshim, if only for a mace yashan, and it doesn't matter if you pay or don't pay your maspita. Okay, the Mishnah says ein chofrin kufin or kavaris b'moed. On chala moed, it says here this Mishnah is going to go into four construction projects that it has an opinion about what you're going to do on chala moed. Ein chofrin kufin a kuch. We're going to see is one of the places where you would bury a body. Ukvaros, a kever, as we know, is a place where you bury a body. It's not what we think, a hole in the ground. B'moed. So you can't do that. You can't do these, you can't dig out these spaces. Aval mechanchen es hakuchen b'moed. But you're allowed to do chinuch hakuch. Now Gemara is going to explain what that is, chinuch hakuch. The oath in Ivreches ben Moed, and you're allowed to make an Ivreches, which is like a little pool, the Moed. Rashi says a little pool where you would wash clothes. Tosis points out, you're not allowed to wash clothes, as we're going to see in the third parak. So what are you doing this for? So Tosis thinks it has to do also with preparations, like for the Tahara, or washing the preparations for the Kvura. The Aron, and to make an Aron, as long as im ha-meis bechatzer. You're allowed to make an Aron, as long as the mace is there in the chatzer. It's concerned about Marisai. That when you're doing, you know, a lot of work with lumber, it seems very much like it's a regular construction project. People aren't thinking that it's for purposes of a coffin. So as long as there's a mace bechatzer, so then that resolves the Marisai. Rabbi Yehuda Oser, Elim Keishim Onisarim. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't allow it unless you already have the planks, the boards of the coffin from before the regel, from before the moed. But to take the logs and to cut them down to become boards and then to make a coffin from it, that's an inordinately large job. All right. So in any case, the Gemara says, my kuchen and my kvaris. What are the difference between kuchen and kvaris? What's a kuch? What's a kever? Amar Rav Yehuda, kuchen bechafira, and kvaris is bebinyan. Kuchen is when you carve out, you hollow out the space in the cave. And what is a kever? A kever is bebinyan. A kever is when you construct a structure over the ground that you're going to bury the body in. So don't ask me about mausoleums. We know that our minhag is not to bury in mausoleums, but it looks like they used to. They used to not necessarily bury the body under the ground. They would bury above ground as long as there's as long as it's all karka all around, then that would be okay.
In Israel today, there's a batei kvarot where they're built like shelves and people are buried one on top of another.
Above ground.
Above ground.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's allowed?
As long as it's in a kever, as long as it's in a karka. The karka, you could.
In the bag, there's like a dirt that goes all the way to the.
It's all eventually.
Dirt or stone. Stone is also karka.
Like an apartment building, you got an elevator. You know?
Right.
So I don't know enough about it. I don't know what the poskim are saying these days about all of these kinds of things. But anyway, back then, they do things that we do things differently now anyway from what they were doing back then. I don't know what this is all referring to. But anyway, the job is a big job. So the Rishonim all have a problem. They're trying to understand what's the context over here. The rules that we saw before is that if it's Tzarchei Rabim, you're allowed to do Tzarchei Rabim on Chol HaMoed. You're even allowed to hold off until the Chol HaMoed. You're allowed to schedule public projects for Chol HaMoed, unless they're Tircha Meruba, unless they're very difficult, big, really big jobs. So that's how some Rishonim understand. That these projects, digging out graves, are very big public projects. So you can't do them on Chol HaMoed because it just involves just too much work. But that's what you're allowed to do, what's called chinuch. That's what it says over here. Oh, incidentally, it says here, Rabbi Yehuda was the one who presented kuchen or chafira and kvar sabinyan, tainam yafi. The Gemara quotes the Brisa, says the same definition. Elohim kuchen, Elohim kvars. Which are kuchen and which are kvars? Kuchen is bechafira and kvars with binyan. So two dots. Aval mechanchen is a kuchen, but you are allowed to make customizations or modifications of already dug kuchen. Ketzer mechanchen. What kinds of modifications are we talking about? Amrav Yehudash im haya arach mekatzro. If let's say it was too long, you can fill it in a little, or the Masnisa Tana, Marech Bo, Marchiv Bo, or you can make it a little bit bigger if you need to. So those minor modifications are acceptable Tzarachim, acceptable Tirchas. The Rishonim will have a really hard time trying to figure out exactly what they're talking about. There is a body already. You are, you're not, you're anticipating, you're expecting imminently because you run out of already dug graves, and then, you know, over the next few days you're going to need some. We're talking about long-range planning. So just using the regular principles from previous sugyas, it would appear that once you're not allowed to do the major construction project because it's too much of a tircha, you presumably are allowed to if you need it and you have a mace right now. That you're definitely allowed to do. What you're not allowed to do is plan for l'achar hamoed. That's what Rashi says. L'tzarech mesim sheyamusu is a tircha yaser. So that's very consistent with what we know from before. Too much work you don't have permission to do, even Tzarech Rabim. But if you you're allowed to do the minor adjustments. So if you have some smaller project, you can even do them on Chol HaMoed, even low Tzarech HaMoed, because it's a Tzarech Rabim. That's what the other Rishonim write, that this is our Tzarech Rabim type task. All right. In any case, they all point out, though, that what we do, where, you know, once a person dies, you dig a hole, and then you bury the person in the hole. So that would fall under the third category over here, which is to make a nivreches. It says, v'yosa nivreches, which is you're allowed to kind of dig a pool, let it dig a space, and then fill it in as a pool. My nivreches, what does that refer to? Amar Rav Yehuda, it's a bakiya. That refers to a bakiya. I don't know, some kind of a little... You know, you carve out a kind of a ditch or something, and like as a pool. Ivahatanya nivreches veha bakiya. Ah, but there's a brisa that identifies nivreches and bakiya as two separate things. Amrabaye, v'itema Rav Kahana, giyo bar giyo. Okay, they're two sized pools. There's the big one and there's the little one. The big pool, the little pool. But either way, you're allowed to make them both. And you can make a pool, or atosis says, for kvura purposes. And so the poskim seem to describe that what we do is more like an ivrefes. You dig out a grave in the ground, and then, okay. So that's what we know, is that what we do. If you have to do a kura, chas v'shalom, chol HaMoed, so then that's what you do. You dig the grave. All right, two dots. The aron, im ha-meis b'chatzer. You're allowed to make an aron only as long as you have the mace in the chatzer. That precludes, that prevents a maris ayin problem. This is a maris ayin concern. Tosus points out, hey, normally you can't solve maris ayin problems just by setting up the scene so that you don't, so that it doesn't mislead anybody. We think, well, of course you could do that. That's the whole point. It's Maaser Zayin under the normal conditions, but if you set up the thing, the tableau, so that doesn't look mysterious, doesn't look like you're doing anything wrong, then that's great. Tosafot just points out that the Gemara in Beita, which we learned, says you can't do that kind of thing. It says, afilu b'chadri chadarim. Kol she'asr chacham yishvim Maaser Zayin, afilu b'chadri chadarim is asr. You can't just fix Maaser Zayin problems just by making sure nobody is able to see anything wrong. They won't learn any message. Okay, so Tosafot just shows that, well, there are some Maaser Zayin that you can, and this is one of those. Okay. So in any case, yeah, that's what it says in the Mishnah, that if you have the mace there, then that precludes the Maaser Zayin, and then you're allowed to make an arm. Gemara says, Tanina lahada tana rabbanan. Ah, so this Mishnah actually is telling me something here in a compact way that is explicit in a brisa. The Gemara is often on the lookout for that type of thing. When you have a brisa, it gives you more information. The Mishnayos don't always give as much information as a brisa gives, but every so often the Amoraim will try to show how the information is in a Mishnah where it's more explicit in a brisa. So that's what it does over here. It says, Tanina leha de tana rabbanan. It says in our Mishnah here, a principle or a lafa that it says in a brisa, namely what? The brisa says, Osim kol tzarchei hameis. You're allowed to take care of any of the tzarchim of a mace on chol hamoed. Gozes in losaro. Okay, apparently they used to cut the hair of the mace. Mechabsin lo ksuso. Could wash his clothes. I guess the tachrichin, I don't know. Osim lo aron. And you're allowed to make a coffin from planks that had already been made into planks on Erev Yontif. So that's consistent with what it says in our Mishnah, according to Rav Yehuda, the Marbar Mishnah. And then Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, it says if you don't have those planks, if you don't have planks already, then you can kind of quietly take logs and cut them down into planks also, b'soch b'so. That's what it says in this brisa. So the Amorayim are pointing out that our Mishnah pretty much has the same concept, that as long as you have either the Nesarim Mesukonim Mei Erev Hamoe, right, like Rashi writes it, then that's what's permissible on Chol Hamoed, at least according to Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, Mishnah. Okay, now, from sad things to happy things. Mishnah says, "Ei nosim nashim b'moed." You're not allowed to get married on Chol HaMoed. That would have been a great time, I assume, to get married. But nope, not allowed to get married on Chol HaMoed. Lo besulos v'lo almanos, not a first marriage or a second marriage. Lo miyabmin, you can't do yibum. Mipnei, why not? Shasimcha hilo, because you're too happy. The Gemara is going to say, what kind of a reason is that? Why is that bad? This is Chol HaMoed we're talking about. We didn't allow me to do things that are Evel, so now you're also not going to allow me to do things that are Simcha. Anyway, Avel Mapzir Es Gerusha So. But you're allowed to remarry the woman that you are married to and divorced. As long as she didn't marry anybody else, Torah doesn't forbid it. And as long as you're not a Kohen, Torah doesn't forbid it. So then it says you're allowed to marry the woman that you
not so happy.
Inappropriately, yeah, because that's not as big a deal. The Yosa Isha Tachshiteha B'moed, a woman is allowed to put on her makeup on Chol HaMoed. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Lo Tasud, as long as she doesn't put on a mask of plaster. Because that is going to make her look manuvelous, at least for a while. She's doing it because it's going to have a nice long-range effect, but at least temporarily, it makes her face all red and burned and everything. A head yot, people who work with plaster know all about that, that the plaster gets really hot when you mix the plaster with the water. So that was something that they used to apparently do, but apparently it had a great long-term effect. And, you know, women do that. They wear this mask, whatever. I assume it's similar to that. And then it has a very critical point. The Mishnah says something you have to, this is something to memorize. Ha-hedyo tofer kedarko veha-uman machliv. This is a critical principle when it comes to Chol HaMoed. That for tzarchei ha-moed, that's what this principle is teaching me. Things that are tzarach ha-moed, you're allowed to do. You're allowed to do malachas on Chol HaMoed, litzorach HaMoed, but with the provision that if you're a hedyot, if you're not an expert in that malacha, then tofer kedarka. You're allowed to stitch the clothes, which normally is a malacha. You're allowed to do that kedarka, however you want. Do it as good as you can make it. But ha'uman, but if you're a professional tailor, you're not allowed to tailor the stitching professionally on Chol HaMoed, Tzar HaMoed. You have to do a shinui. Machliv, you have to do a shinui. That's the rule on Chol HaMoed. Tzar HaMoed, you're allowed to do what's called Maisa Hedyot, not Maisa Uman. And Uman has to do a shinui. Umesargen es amitos, and you're allowed to make the beds. Literally, actually make the beds. They would take the bed frame and take the straps, and you're allowed to tie the straps onto the bed in order to make the bed. Different way of saying make the bed. Rabbi Yossi holds, no, you can't do a full job like that, but you can tighten up the loose straps if they get loose. And that's going to be in next daf or two. Gemara says, back to that ruling about not allowed to get married on Chol HaMoed, so what did it simchei lo? Why does that make it a problem? What's the problem? Amar Rav Yudah Mashmuel, we're going to have several reasons here. Amar Rav Yudah Mashmuel, so Rav Yudah quotes from Shmuel, the Chen Amar Belazar Amar Boshia, the Amar Lo Amar Belazar Amar Bichanina, okay, this is all the first reason, namely why, Lefi She'ein Me'arvin Simcha B'Simcha, because you're not allowed to mix Simcha events together. Chol HaMoed is a Zaman of Simcha, like Yantif. And getting married is a Simcha event. And Ein Me'arvin Simcha B'Simcha, and you're not allowed to mix your Simcha events together. That's going to be an issue you'll explore on the next daf. Rabba Barav Huna Amar Mipnei Shemaniach Simcha Saregel V'Yosek B'Simcha Sishto. Rabba Barav Huna says, no, that's not necessarily what's going on here. What's going on here is because there is a pasuk, Mipnei Shemaniach Simcha Saregel, because you are, by getting married, you are now almost shunting the Simchas HaRegel off to the side, and you're not properly being Mesameach B'Regel. B'Yosek B'Simchas Ishto. That's going to distract you from the Regel. Amar Lo Abaye L'Rav Yosef. Abaye says to Rav Yosef, Ha de Rabba Bar Huna, this explanation, this reason of Rabba Bar Huna, the second one, in other words, the Meniach Simchas HaRegel, V'Yosek B'Simchas Ishto, the Ravu, that one I've heard even in the name of Rav, the Amar Rav Daniel Bar Katina Amar Rav, because we have a tradition of Daniel Bar Katina told us that Rav says the following, Minayin She'ein Nosim Nashim B'Moed, how do you know you're not allowed to get married on Moed? It's very clear from this that whenever they talk to men, that one doesn't marry women on Moed. That's the default. The default perspective is that you're talking to men, so you don't have to always turn everything into men, women, gender. It's always the default. But obviously the prohibition is on the man and the woman. Exactly the same issue. It just means a couple can't get married. How do you know you can't get married on Chol HaMoed? Because the pasuk says you have to have simcha in the chag. V'samachta bechagecha. The implication being bechagecha v'lo be'ishtecha, that you have to have simcha in the chag and not by also getting married and having simchas a wedding. The Mishnah is talking about, incidentally, nosim nisuin, which we say get married. We have blurred, by saying get married, we've blurred what the rule really is. The rule is nisuin. Nisuin is a level 2 marriage. Level 2 marriage, we always get married both levels simultaneously. You start out as engaged, and then by the time you walk out of the chuppah, you're married with a level 2 marriage. Level 1 is called erusin. Level 2 is nisuin. This Mishnah doesn't forbid erusin. It only forbids nisuin, so you could get married. You just can't get married. Well, you can't. You can get married with Erisin, but that it is much less of a simcha. Yes, you're legally married. Erisin is where you're married on paper. You're married on paper. He hands her the ring. She takes the ring. The witnesses see. They are married. If they want to break up that relationship, they need a full get. It's a marriage. But after that, procedure. Everybody goes home separately. So they're still not moving in together. They're not starting family. They're not responsible for each other. All of those things which we associate with a normal marriage, those only begin at Nisuin. And this is what it says over here. The Nisuin is what's forbidden. That's when there's Simcha. That's when they're responsible for each other. They take care of each other. They start a family. They move in together. That, you know, in the Middle Ages, it was causing problems. When people were married on paper, but they didn't act like they were married. They didn't feel married. There wasn't any culture of being married to each other. It was causing problems. People were taking liberties, and therefore they decided that it's bad practice. And so they would eliminate that stage one, that level one marriage. Okay, we've learned all of these things in the course of other Mesephtis incidents. So let's see. It says over here two reasons. One reason is because they marvel simcha b'simcha. The second reason is based on a pasuk, samachta b'chagecha. Tosa says in both cases these are dinim de'oraisa. It's a din de'oraisa not to marry with nisuin on chol hamoed. Ula amar mipnei haTorah. Ula amar mipnei haTorah. Ula says that no, it's a different reason. It's because it takes too much work to throw a wedding. The Nisuin is going to take too much work, and it's going to distract you from the regel. Tosis points out, yeah, but that's not what it says in the Mishnah. Mishnah says, "Mipnei shesimchi lo." You can't say it's because of the Torah. The Tosis say, okay, it means that because of the responsibility, because of it, it's a simcha, that's why you're eager to exert yourself a lot more, and you're going to put in a lot more effort, and it's going to just take up all your time. And it wasn't the simcha, it was the simcha creates the Torah, the tircha, and that's what's the distraction. Yitzchak Nafa Amar, Bibnei Bittel Kiri of Arivia. Yitzchak Nafa says, no, no, it's a different thing. It's a more subtle problem that happens. But if you allow people to get married on Chol HaMoed, here's what's going to happen. They're going to be what's called Mechavein Melach Ben Lemoed. They're going to hold off until Chol HaMoed because it's such a great time to get married. So, you know, people will come and people are off. Rashi says a different thing because you'll save the cost of a big meal. I don't exactly know. What does it imagine? Is Chol HaMoed Seuda expensive? Anyway, Chol HaMoed Seuda and a wedding Seuda, have it all together, and you can consolidate. So, because people see it that way, I don't know who these people are who think in those terms, but they see it that way, so that's why. So, what's so bad about that? So, it's a good cheshbon. No, the problem is, if you're prepared to get married now, what it means is, you'll be getting married. You're starting a family already. You'll have children already. So the expectation is you're not permitted to hold off on getting married. So according to this, the reason why you can't get married on Chol HaMoed is because it will create an unjustifiable delay in scheduling the wedding. So that's a principle for us, is that we have to also be aware of this, not to schedule weddings for too long. There are other justifications for a schedule, but it can't just be convenience. So, anyway, Mipnei Bittel Piri Verivia. That's what it says in our Gemara. All right, let's stop over here.
If you did get married, Paul Moyes, you did it.
Yeah, it would work. It would just be a sin. Right.